We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's James and Wiggy with Andy Hart. James, Wiggy, and Hart on Sports Radio WEEI.
All sorts of questions. Hey, Bill. Bill, I got a question.
Yeah,
I
don't
know. You know, have you spoken to Gronk lately? We're moving on to Philadelphia.
Houston.
It's week, no, we're talking week 11, coming off the week 10 bye. Bye week. Week 10 bye, there's going to be nothing to talk about in New England except this.
All right, we're on to Philadelphia.
I'm road mapping it for you folks, the way this is going to work. 40% all you want. What does that mean, by the way, 40%?
I don't know, but what percent?
I don't know, it is 40%.
July 17th. What percentage does Gronk play this year?
100%.
Rich Eisen.
Wow.
From the Rich Eisen. Wiggy basically just topped it off.
That's it.
He topped it off. 100% that number 87.
And wasn't Gronk just on his show?
Yep. He was.
Interesting.
Sources.
Yeah.
Interesting. Maybe they spoke off air well as on air.
Yeah, every interview I've ever done, when I've done a phone interview or even when you go in studio, you speak off air.
Yep. I think the exchange between him and Drew Brees, where he didn't maybe realize that there were microphones and cameras around on the red carpet at the ESPYs when Drew Brees and him are talking.
Well, you'd have to be pretty dumb to not realize you're at the ESPYs and there's no mics and cameras around.
But and Drew's like, just matter of fact, you come back? Yeah, I'm coming back.
Was that what that was? Did you figure that out? Did we get enough intel that we could actually...
Can you... The audio is distinctive enough?
It's a little unconfirmed.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe he's, going to the bathroom and Drew Brees wants an autograph for his kids.
Right.
Yeah, I'm coming back.
Right. It's like you don't really
when you get to the playoffs.
You can't do that, actually. You'll have to come back before that, and you will. Right. I mean, and I think Eisen's questioning the 40% sort of the same way I did yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, if you say it's 40%,
right,
then he's really thinking about it.
Right.
He's unretired to some degree already.
Yeah, already.
Like, there are certain people you'd say, you know, some guy who battled all these injuries, and he's just like, no,
right,
I am done.
Right.
You know, Veld here, the tackle who retired when they started
Jared
OTAs.
Yeah.
He's done.
Right. Right.
He walked away. I don't think he's looking back because nothing was working the way he wanted it to.
Right.
The hips hurt, everything.
Physically, you just can't
toast.
Do it.
Dunsky, if you're 40% back in,
right,
and it's July, when you get past camp,
yep,
and when you see them having fun,
right,
you're unretired.
That percentage goes up.
Right, way up to 100. Right.
He's absolutely playing next year.
Yes, he is.
I think he's coming back next year. I don't
Unless
know if it's 100%, but I think he's coming back.
That's my only caveat. If for whatever reason they're like 2-7,
right, I don't think he's coming back.
But they're not going to be.
I know they're not going to.
That's my 1% that I'm leaving for.
Like,
fair enough.
I've said this year, but even if it's not this year, definitely next year, because then he's like,
really?
Yes.
You think next year over?
Like, oh, if he sits out the whole year?
Yeah, I think he pulls like a Jason Witten and goes, you know what? Man, I miss it. I was thinking about...
But then, Wiggy, you're away from the game for nearly 2 years. That's a long time.
Ibukam. Oh, thankfully, he's out of the booth now.
He'll only be out of the game for a year, so he won't play this season.
But if you do that, don't you think you probably, if you're going to do that, do come back like Witten, like in June? Like, and be on the team, go to training camp.
Yeah, I think he gets to the point and goes, you know, if he doesn't come back this year, which I still think there's a chance he does, but let's just say for some reason, he's like, I want to come back. And like you said, he's at that 40%. He's thinking about it. He's teetering. Yeah, I'm missing it. And then they get to the playoffs, and maybe they're having fun, and they lose. And it's like, man, imagine if they had Gronkowski. And then he goes, you know what? I'm definitely going to come back next year.
You know what sounds to me is that the people around him, and they're looking out for, they want this guy to not end up like Earl Campbell, walking around and, you know, where he's on crutches. Or,
yeah, but that's he's no way he's going
to
be
But it sounds to me like Gronk sort of, he listened to the people that support him, that care about him, his brothers, maybe his parents, and said, hey, you know, now's a good time. And he was sort of coaxed into doing it, but He can also be easily. All he needs is a text from TB12. Right. Once he gets a text from Tom, he's back.
Or well, Tom already knows.
Well, yeah, Mike Florio right? said yeah. that.
I believe
I
Tom
think
knows.
Tom
Mike
already
Florio
knows.
Mike Florio said yesterday to us it was more of the concussion thing that that the family was concerned about. And I can understand that.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Because you look at it the way with modern medicine and the way, you know, the medical is now, you don't really see guys. I mean, granted, you know, Earl Campbell played in a completely different era.
Know.
You know, that's why he's walking around. I mean,
but listen, Gronk.
You think about it, you see guys that played, you know, like Howie Long or something. Like, these guys are not walking around like Earl Campbell.
But Gronk has been injury prone his entire career, so we know that,
and he's going to have issues. I'm sorry, you don't have four back surgeries,
four
multiple arm surgeries, ACL.
I mean, how
surgery.
Old is Earl Campbell, anyways? I mean, it's not like the guy's, you know, 55 years old. I think he's pretty old.
No,
right?
But I mean, I'm just saying, like, guys have trouble getting around, and I think for Gronk,
when you get 65, 70, I mean, you know,
a lot of people.
Hopefully, I make it that long. I get to that. It's going to be some type of lingering effect from playing all those years of football. You're not going to be doing backflips.
But do you feel it now? Do you feel
of
any?
Course you feel it.
You really?
Yeah,
like,
every day.
How so? When you wake up?
Oh, every day. When you wake up, you go to sleep. When you take a step.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's just the way it is.
It doesn't help that you're getting up at 4 a.m. to do morning radio.
Yeah, no.
But if you play long enough, and even guys that played in high school and played in college, 4 years of high school, 4 years of college, they'll tell you that they probably still fail things. I mean, it's just no matter what sport you play, right? I think if you ask Lou Maloney how he feels every day when he gets up, he'll probably tell you that his body feels something. It's just the nature of the beast from playing sports and playing it for a long period of time.
I think for Gronk, though, so much of his identity is being Gronk.
Right.
It's being that, you know, indomitable tight end for the New England Patriots, winning Super Bowls with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And I think, like, we talk about when you get to the rush of what it feels, and he's going to see those guys go out there, and maybe he's there on opening night against Pittsburgh to get his ring, and not the ring, but at least to see the banner.
Open the door. You know, they do that little door ceremony, open the locker room
that's
door.
Gronk.
Give me a chest bump.
It's just going to be like, that's who he is. That's what he is. And yes, he's going to have a plethora of options to do, whether it's Hollywood, WWE, a little UFC, whatever the hell he wants to do.
Acting. UFC, is that a rumor?
No, I'm just throwing I'm throwing
that's
everything.
That's a good one. I'd get a pay-per-view with Gronk
I'm just throwing
that's UFC. Why would he do, like, why would you get into the world of fighting?
Combat, yeah.
You
want to do
the wrestling.
Right. I mean, if you do
if
it
you
right.
Have body issues.
If you do it right and fight a couple tomato cans and then get on a pay-per-view where they give you like $100 million because you're Gronk, I'd do it.
But there's no comparison, Andy. I mean,
you wouldn't do it for $100 million?
I mean, I would, but blocking somebody and getting punched in the face.
Yeah, no. No, it needs to be set up properly. I need a couple tomato cans so that people think I'm 3-0.
But even a tomato can, if they throw one good right hook.
No, that's where I trust my promoter. You get me the right tomato can.
But you'd have to have a really, really bad tomato can.
Yes.
To me, at this point, I would be not shocked, but I would be highly surprised and disappointed if he doesn't come back this season.
Oh, that's what we're all setting up
right
for. We're all going to be disappointed. When? What is the date? Is it the...
Yeah, the cutoff date.
There's a certain... Week 13.
Week 13.
If we get past that, everybody's going to be like, what the... He's not back? Like,
right.
I think it is now presumed by most Patriots fans, media types, that you get to December, you're going to have a Rob Gronkowski story as an early Christmas present.
Oh, no doubt about it. Also,
well, week 13 would be the Kansas City Chiefs. That would be the that's what is on the schedule. Chiefs 13, 14, 15, 16. Yep.
And it could be before that.
Yeah, that's the December 8th. But, you know, the bye week is, let's see, what was the bye week? That's after
week 10.
Yeah, week 10.
But that's a good one to have.
And we know around here the Bill and Tom thing, you know, real playoffs start after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So if he comes back, maybe practices for a week or two, you get one of those waivers so he can practice. He's not on the roster.
Exactly.
And then he's ready to roll.
So
into
November
December.
17th, let's call it, because they play at Baltimore on November 3rd. Which, and then their next game won't be till the 17th. So that's the bye week right there between the Ravens game and the Eagles game. So he can come back. He'll take the Eagles, and they got the Cowboys, and they got the Texans.
Chiefs. Cowboys at home, right?
Yep, they got the Cowboys at home, ooh, Texans in Houston, and then the Chiefs at home. So, I mean,
there are no cupcakes on that part of the
schedule.
That's
a nice little stretch, and that's a good stretch to have, Gronk.
Be a nice time to add an all-time great.
Catch a couple balls against the Eagles, couple against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, and show Kelsey who's boss.
Right, there you go.
Can you imagine the ovation if and when he does come at his first game, when he comes out of that tunnel and like he comes out, they're like, listen, you're going to come out after Brady. And it's like, oh my God.
They won't do that.
All right, He'll just run out. But I tell you, it's just like Susan Waldman, Roger Clemens thing.
Of all the dramatic events, Rob Gronkowski.
Well, this is, and speaking a little bit of dramatic, that Baker Mayfield, his agent, came out, and although this sound is a year old, there was actually a report yesterday on ESPN.com, but here's a clarification of his agent who came out and thought that Baker was going to be a Patriot.
We had another team, which is going to surprise you. Another team had said, you may get a big surprise on draft day at number two if he's available. It was the Patriots.
To get up to number two.
And we
two.
Thought they had traded, you know, for they had 23 and they had 31 and they had 2 seconds. I don't know. We thought, boy, that's going to be a heck of a move to get up that high from where they are. And, of course, he wasn't available, so nothing. We never knew if that was a reality or not.
So how about that? Now, you think about if something like that hypothetically would have happened. That would have been interesting in how they would have massaged that, because you're talking about a guy who had been selected one or two in the draw. He's selected, obviously, number one by Cleveland, but then if he goes number two, how do you keep that guy in the bench for a few more years while Tommy decides to win a couple more Super Bowls and win an MVP? How does that happen?
I think they could have done it because if you're saying, well, Tom's only going to play 3 more years, right? It would be, would have been a good fit. You know, he's able to learn behind Tom. He's able to, you know, take his time, not get thrown into the fire. Now, I wouldn't have seen that happening, because if you're drafting a guy that high, usually that guy's going to play. I mean, if you get an Aaron Rodgers won, what, 22nd or 3rd or something like that?
Yeah, and he just sat the first 3 years.
If you get a guy late in the first round, you know, they'll sit, but you get Baker Mayfield.
And money-wise, I just looked it up. Saquon Barkley went in that 2 spot, the Giants pick.
Right.
$32 million contract.
Wow.
Signing bonus.
That's the
whole contract.
It's pretty much guaranteed now, right?
Yeah. It's basically a guaranteed contract, so that's a... You know, that's a big chunk of change for a backup, developmental, whatever you want to call him, quarterback.
And I thought this was interesting. Mina Kimes from ESPN, she came out with an article yesterday, and her column said, until the day of the draft, Mayfield wasn't sure the Browns would take him with the first overall pick for a while. He was convinced New England would actually trade up for him at number two.
There's no way he was. I think that's all, you know.
You think it's a little...
I think it's all a smoke screen. I think it's a dog and pony show, because... They know, just like, you know, we know, and we sit on the radio and we talk about draft and we talk about moving up the draft board. The Patriots had, 23 or 24 and something else in the 24 and 28 or whatever it was. They had 2 late first round draft picks. And they're not going to move up to number two with what they had. They needed way more than that, or they would have had to package somebody in that deal, you know. Their draft picks.
Players, draft picks.
Plus Gronkowski and all that other stuff.
This is coming from Bill Belichick. Lighting the fire under Brady. Wants to get back at him for making him trade Garoppolo. He's floating those rumors out there. Oh, we were gonna trade up for him.
I love when Ken chooses to chime in and the tone in which he does.
That's true.
Ken's been 100% on Gronk. You said that last year. They were attempting to trade him.
They had a deal in place to trade him to the Detroit Lions. That is true.
And Ken reported that before anybody, didn't you, Ken?
Correct.
All right. Real quick, though. Wiggy, you were just talking about it. I pulled up the draft trade value chart. 2,600 points for the number 2 overall selection.
Uh-huh.
Patriots had 23, which is 760, and 31, right?
Yep.
So 1,300 points. They have less than half the value needed to move up with their 2 first-round picks. So you got to make up another 1,300 points somewhere in there.
That's unreal.
Which is essentially the value of like the 10th pick in the draft. Like, there's a lot of makeup to get up to not, two.
It's
unless Gronk's involved or something like that.
Right, you'd have to put a player in there.
Or you gave up a future number one, which Belichick would not.
But I don't
three
even think
ones
it,
now.
Yeah, but I don't even think that would. You would have to, because with the Patriots.
It's useless. It's a pick at number 31 every
year.
Right,
that's what you're going to be looking at.
All right, now it's time for Trending with the great Ken Laird.
The home of the best off-season Patriots coverage. Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. It's the proven program that will fit into your summer while helping you fit into your bathing suit, lose weight starting your very first week. Update from the Open Championship, the fourth major of the year.
Tiger
is not teed off yet.
Not yet.
10-10.
Wait for Tiger.
Shane Lowry, the Irishman, is 4-under in the clubhouse with the one-shot lead over six golfers, including Sergio. Sergio Garcia, out of nowhere, is 3-under on the day. Tough day for Rory, 3-over. Phil is 5-over.
Oh.
Spieth in the mix, 2-under through 3, and Koepka is through 4
Phil
holes,
Mickelson?
1-under par. Phil Mickelson.
Yes. Okay.
He lost a lot of weight recently. And did you hear about some athlete recently? He fasted for 6 days and he lost 15 pounds.
Well,
some athlete.
I had a fast.
Yeah, is that a good idea, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
How do you fast for six straight days, though?
No, maybe he got lost in the woods.
Yeah, he could have.
Top of the mountain, went up the Appalachian Trail.
It seems a little unhealthy.
Yeah, I don't think his dietitian recommended that.
Yeah. No. I hardly doubt that. That is not approved
sure,
by...
Sure, like some special holiday. I know there's some holidays, so maybe that might have been a holiday.
For 6 days?
I don't know.
That's a long holiday.
What's Lent? Yeah. How long are you fasting for Lent?
I don't think it's 6 days, is it?
Is this Lent like 40 days?
You die if you fast for 40 days.
Well, no,
wouldn't
I mean,
you?
But maybe you give stuff up for 40 days.
Okay, yeah. It's not you don't eat.
It's been a while since I've fasted.
Discipline is in for the guy who pointed a laser at Brady in the fourth quarter of the AFC title game in Arrowhead Stadium.
Life in prison. Plus 30.
Just
plus 30.
Shy of that. No jail time. $500 fine.
That's it.
Can he go back to Chiefs games?
No. I believe he's been banned for life.
Really?
I believe
he blamed it on alcohol. I think he was initially
blaming
banned.
On the
the Chiefs banned him, I believe, from the stadium.
Should be in front of a firing squad for putting a laser in Brady's eyes.
Especially that was so
damages retina.
That was so 90s-ish. Like doing the laser thing. Remember that? Like the laser thing was so.
Yeah.
Like where did you get one of those?
For a while, it was pilots. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like people would hang out at airports.
Can hurt retinas. That's why I never even look at people welding.
Supposed to. Yeah, or the sun.
Smart.
Never look at the sun.
5-4 win for the Red Sox last night. They'll get at it for the fourth and final game of the Jays series. 12 noon pregame with Dale Keefe. Lou Maloney's going to join the guys. Then he'll stick around for the call. Joe Castiglione and Dale Arnold on the call today. Sox and Jays getaway day. 105 the first pitch. Yankees Rays postponed yesterday, so they have a doubleheader. Eovaldi could be back for the weekend. That's the news from Alex
believe Cora. It when I see it, Ken Laird.
Yeah, true. More of Wiggy, James, and Hart coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Plan A was Kimba Walker and Enes Kanter.
All right, so I'm going to say Plan A was Kyrie and AD.
Yep.
Okay? I'm going to throw in a Plan B, or he probably thought about, let me see if we can keep Kyrie, maybe he can convince KD to come.
Wow.
Kyrie and Al Horford was Plan C.
Yes, got it.
Keep Horford, and now
Horford. Well, then, in that case, then Plan D is even once Kyrie leaves, keep Al Horford.
Right.
When we all thought
so
Kyrie
Ennis
was leaving, we thought that Al Horford was going to stay.
Right. So this is whatever. Like you said, it might have been Plan J, all right?
It's like I said about Chris Broussard before, Ken.
I agree with him, though. Do you really think Plan A was Kemba Walker?
No.
And Enes Kanter?
No.
Everything Broussard just said is logical.
Right.
Kyrie and KD.
Right.
Kyrie and AD.
Right.
Kyrie and Horford.
Right.
Horford and Walker, which has definitely been talked about. Certainly this was not.
Kyrie and Kawhi. I mean, it could have been a whole bunch of things there.
Well, here's in yesterday at the introductory press conference for Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter, Danny Ainge was asked about, when did you sort of know that Kyrie was not coming back to Boston in the offseason?
I mean, I think I had a pretty good idea in March or April. Not for sure, though. Not certain, but I was obviously thinking of moving a different direction at that point, thinking of the different options.
And how tough was it just, again, with his commitment in last fall in terms of, you know, planning purposes for, you know, to...
It's tough business. You know, you got to have a lot of different directions to go. You got to be ready. And we had others. If this one that we have today, we're sitting here with two guys that chose to come to us that we're very fortunate to have. But if it hadn't happened, we'd have had another plan.
Here's the thing. They asked him, they said, you know, when did you know? And he said March or April. I think it was more like January, February. I think he started to see I think that Florida trip really, that was the thing that just set Kyrie to where he was like, I'm out of here. And if that's the case, if Danny Ainge had an inclination back in January or February that Kyrie was going to leave, he should have made a move before the deadline. And rather than letting him leave and get nothing for it.
But he wasn't willing to at that point. He wasn't willing to.
He was hoping that he could. And that's why I'm wondering, you know, behind closed doors, what's he saying to Kyrie? Because what you have to do is you have to stroke those guys' egos. When you got elite players, you got to say, hey, Kyrie, here's what we're doing. Here's what we want to do moving forward in the future. We're thinking about bringing in this guy. What do you think about that? Who should we go after? Somebody that you like, that you would rather play with rather than this guy? You know, do you really want to get the young guys out of here? And Kyrie having... He should be doing that with Kyrie, or he should have been doing that with Kyrie Irving. Now Kyrie's saying, okay, this is kind of my team and I can build it the way I want, because that's what those elite players do.
And that's the problem with the NBA now. A guy like Sam Presti, who, you know, Paul George was going to leave OKC, right? He's going to LA. That was going to happen the whole time. And then he re-signs with OKC, and you're like, okay, so they have their building blocks, right? Westbrook and George.
Right.
That's what we're building around. We pulled it off. Somehow we convinced him that Middle America is better than LA.
Right.
And then a year later, boom, it blows up. Right. Westbrook is traded. You got to trade.
Paul George gets
Paul
traded.
Paul George is traded, excuse me. And like the whole thing falls apart. Like year to year. That's the way that league is with these players and the power and what they want and what they're willing to do.
That's what you're seeing now. And that even if a guy does sign a four-year contract like a Paul George, that they can leverage themselves out of there in a trade. And now you're even seeing now with these guys signing these, you know, four-year deals. But the same way that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, they both have player options at the 2021 season or something.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yep. Everybody's already talking about it. They've yet to play a game after their most exciting offseason in history, and people are already talking about another offseason.
Like where they're going.
The NBA has become a sport where their offseason has surpassed their in-season.
Right. Because everybody wants to know where are they going to end up? Who's going to be playing with who? Like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, they're both, Kawhi Leonard does a contract, so he can opt out right when Paul George is up. So now it's like, okay, where's the next spot? Where do you think they go together? Right. They're going to stay in the Clippers? And it's like, got to find out where the next landing spot is.
Haven't even played a game yet. Like, if you're a fan and you hear these things, how do you go invest in a jersey? Like, how do you buy a jersey knowing everybody's already looking at where the next guy's going?
NBA sucks.
the one jersey, if you invested in, Andy, 20 years ago, Antoine Walker, it actually still holds up now.
It looks good.
All you can hope is what the Toronto, if you're nowadays, you just want to be a Toronto Raptors fan. Hope that these guys want to come to where you are, or you get one of them in a trade, win a championship, and then you can enjoy that championship, you know.
Or you do what the kids do and just buy your player jersey. And I'm not buying a Clippers jersey because I'm a Clippers fan. I'm just going to buy a Kawhi jersey to add to my Raptors Kawhi jersey, to add to my Spurs Kawhi jersey, because I'm just going to buy the player, not the
Or you
the
get lucky and you could be like a Golden State fan, and then you can kind of have two guys that you draft that turn out to be, you know, top 10 NBA players, and then you get Kevin Durant, and you can say, okay, now we got a team that has gone to 5 straight championships and, you know, what they went through.
Well, that's why I think a lot for the Celtics, Wiggy, is that next year you're going to want to see the advancement of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And for me,
It's must.
You must.
You don't have a choice.
Like Jason Tatum, I think he's going to take that natural progression. To me, though, the big question is Jaylen Brown. Like, what? Now that Kyrie's gone, now that Rozier is gone, now that Marcus Morris is gone, now that Al Horford's gone, You have a chance to get back your game. You should be starting. And now you don't have to worry about things about not getting minutes and being frustrated. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, these are must have seasons for both of those guys.
You don't have to worry about playing time, but you have to worry about potentially being traded.
Right.
That's the next worry.
I don't think Tatum does, but I think Jaylen Brown does.
But yeah, I think Tatum has become a made man in this town, and I don't really understand it. Whereas Jaylen Brown is not. He's the guy that doesn't
play. I think because Tatum has more skill than Brown, and I'll give him that, like, skill on the court, that they're saying, oh, well, Tatum could be, like, you know, he worked out with Kobe. Could he be the next Kobe?
Well, he was immediately compared to Paul Pierce when he arrived, and then he added Kobe to the mix.
Right.
And it's like, everybody thinks he's going to be Paul Pierce or Kobe.
Right.
Well, what if he's just Jason Tatum and it's meh?
What
if he is what he was last year?
That's where we're trending. That's kind of what we've seen. We don't know. We've seen him at times like, okay, he has the skill, but at times it's like, you know, he doesn't take the ball to the hoop enough. He doesn't get to the free throw line. He's just a guy.
But there's been times when Jaylen Brown has been the best player on the team.
Yes.
And stretches where he's been the most consistent good player on the team.
And yet no one seems
to give him credit for that.
And you know what it is, too, about Jaylen Brown? Unlike Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown takes pride in his defense.
Yep.
He will D up. Jason Tatum, he has a little Matador in him. He don't let him go by. Let's get back in. Like the cherry picking, he needs to get back. He needs to sort of round his game and being that two-way. The thing also I took about yesterday
is that. That's because Danny tells us he's going to be that. So we buy into it.
Like the thing now, I have to tell you, in he's been here now 19 years. He's won one title, Danny Ainge. I'm starting to see that I really don't think he was prepared to lose Horford and Kyrie. And now it's like, you got Kemba, nice save. Mm-hmm. You replaced Kyrie Irving with a three-time All-Star, fine, but Cantor's okay. He's a double-double game, but you still have no front court. You have nobody who can guard the bigs. Like, and granted, the game has changed. It's played beyond the perimeter.
Taco Tuesdays.
You don't.
You don't have him because he's probably going to be with the main Red Claws.
You don't have any bigs.
I just start to see Danny differently now where I'm not – you talk about giving passes. You talk about giving Tatum. Yep. I'm not giving Danny that pass anymore. It's been a long – hey, Wiggy, 2008 was a long time ago.
All right, I know. And okay. But I've always been on the like, all right, Danny, let's get something done here.
Ainge is going to step down.
What he does is he teases you, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we make a hard push for Kevin Durant. Oh, here, look what we did. We got Kyrie Irving.
According to Greg Dickerson, well, it's true, but, oh, they get a meeting with him in the Hamptons. What did that get you? It's a pass or fail. You get him or you don't. Oh, you got a meeting. Whoop-de-doo.
Well, then I would say Danny's time here has been more fail than pass.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
And he deserves a lot of blame.
More fail?
Yeah.
Yes.
How so?
He's won one title.
Okay. Since he's been here, right?
You worked for the Patriots for 20 years. You know it's a pass-fail league.
No, I know. And the bar is high in Boston because of all the other teams.
Right.
But as an NBA comparison, who would he be trailing in that category? Golden State.
I would say Golden State.
San Antonio.
I'd say even Cleveland. Well, not Cleveland.
Heat?
The Heat have won
three world titles since 2006.
How many times did Cleveland go to the NBA Finals? LeBron, the second go-around.
They went like to the NBA Finals. He got there in
8 straight years or
15,
something like
16,
that.
16, 17, 18, 4 straight years in Cleveland. They went to the NBA Finals.
So I'd say maybe Cleveland.
Yeah. And Miami won three titles since 06.
No, my point is it's a small group. It's a small group.
The Lakers, too.
That you're competing with.
Lakers, too.
Because
they three-peated and then they repeated.
Yeah, but what Danny got here and Danny got...
Plus, who's running
03.
The Lakers?
Danny got
Who
here...
Who you give that credit?
Well, that was Jerry West and then Mitch Kupchak, but now, yeah.
Well,
so,
Danny was here in 03, the Lakers, that was kind of... That was to the tail end of the Shaq run, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that to the tail? So I don't know if you can get that Lakers, the Shaq era, but you can get the Kobe, Paul Gasol era.
But my point is there are a few teams that have won titles in the era of Danny.
Right.
Or significant, more than one title, he has. And then the flip side is everybody thought a year ago he had put together a dynasty, right?
It we was all a, did.
Like
I,
we
yeah,
were,
we
I
all
would
did.
Say, I would he say, had one title, but we were giving him future titles. They right. were they were already one, they were checks were, being written.
They were in the NBA Finals
right.
this year.
Right.
They might not have beat Golden State.
But we're all wrong with Danny.
We were cool with right? them not beating Golden State one, because Golden State was loaded.
Even with the torrid 17-2 start the Red Sox got off to last year, 1 year ago at this moment, the Celtics were clearly the team that was going to, next to the Patriots, who were coming off a Super Bowl loss. But it was like the Patriots, and then right on their heels, the Celtics. That all right, Eastern Conference should be in the NBA Finals, better right. part of the next 5 years.
Yep.
Now looking at it, it's like
now we're firing Danny.
You're 4 or 5 seed.
Well, we're not firing him, but
he's close.
No,
he's
hot I'm not.
You're hot seating him.
We're definitely holding out the lighter, like Danny.
Yeah, we're holding.
I'm circle back to Danny Ainge.
We're going to light this fuse here if you don't get something done.
Yeah.
So right. You're on the hot seat.
All right. Final segment coming up next, Wiggy Hart and James, and we will close it out and hand it off to Dale and Keefe. We'll give the Red Sox lineup and talk about guess who's pitching today, Wiggy? Chris Sale.
Okay.
Can he stop the bleeding? 3 straight games of giving up 5 earned runs. Can he stop it today against the Blue Jays? We'll talk about that next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Going out there to fit there and get my ass kicked. What do you think? It's not fun. I'm still working, still grinding. I'm not going to give up, but you know, it's tough. You know, going out there every day being a liability for your team.
So I ask you guys this question. Wiggy, Hart, if Chris Sale goes out today, and I think the bleeding stops today.
Yes.
He can't make it 4-0, but I'm going to ask the question. I mean, first of all, this is a bad Toronto team, but you never know what could happen. So you look at his last 3 outings, he's given up 5 earned runs in 3 straight outings. If it 4 in a row, the Red Sox maybe need to put him on the IL?
Something. It's desperate. I wrote this yesterday, desperate times for both of them. And part of that was this whole...
WEEI.com.
WEEI.com. That, you know, the whole intervention thing in the bullpen.
Yeah.
That's feels like desperation.
What are you putting him on the IL for? Because wouldn't you say we don't think that it's
a
physical?
Sore something.
Yeah.
Right. Pick it. Whatever you want.
Sore back, so you can come up with
you're
something.
You're basically saying, you're going on the IL.
Figure it out.
Because you just can't. You mentally right now, you just don't got it.
Yeah, and I do think it's mental.
I'm sorry.
I agree. I mean, you keep putting him out there. He's struggling. He had that stretch in May and June where it looked like Chris Sale was back. You know, it was 10 Ks, 15 Ks. Right. Like, he was putting up numbers. The runs allowed were down. And then you come out the other side of it, and now you're back to needing the help of teammates. And all. I'm really interested as much today. Mm-hmm. Obviously, his performance is at the top of the list. I'm interested in what he has to say about this bullpen session and what exactly transpired there, what he got out of it, how it came about.
Right.
Why are you leaning on these other guys to, you know, Cora alluded to mechanical things. Maybe they see something that, wait a minute.
Right.
We got a manager, a pitching coach, a bullpen coach, catchers, an entire pitching staff, and you got, you know, some random scriboni from the bullpen is supposed to go out there and be like, oh, did you notice?
Weren't there positional players out there?
Yeah, and they're supposed to pick up on something. This guy is a 7-time All-Star. Every year he's a Cy Young candidate.
Right.
And he needs Joe Average player.
Right. He needs Mookie Betts to tell him,
oh, you're opening up your right shoulder a little early there.
I can see it from center field.
What are we doing here?
What's going on?
Was that just a dog and pony show then? I don't know, but what good comes from it?
Nothing.
It almost seems like... alarms. You're sounding the alarms like we have no idea what's going on.
It would be like when I was playing if I had issues about catching the football, right? And I just had the dropsies that I could. And so afterwards, I'm out there on the ball machine, and all of a sudden, Matt Light walks over and goes, you know what? I'm thinking, you know, your hand placement is wrong on the football. I'm like, wait, you know what I mean?
And then Vinatieri's like, but see, I was thinking your head, your eyes aren't up high enough.
Right. It's
like,
just your eyes.
What the hell are you guys talking about? Why don't you focus on your own damn job?
Imagine me walking over there and going, you know what, Adam, I think when you're planting on your left foot, when you're kicking it, and you're bringing that back leg just a little bit off to the right. That's why you keep going left.
Even worse would be if Was Brad Seeley the special teams coach then?
Yes.
If Brad Seeley was like, yeah, Wiggy, why don't you help out Adam? Because I haven't been able to help him. Right. That's what this feels like.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the thing, too, for the Red Sox that you're talking, what it's today, you're less than 2 weeks away from the trade deadline?
July 18th today is.
So 13 days. 13 days. So you're 2 weeks away. And if he gets shelled again today, guys.
You want to trade him, too?
No, no, you can't. You got to give him a
nobody's going to trade
for him. No. What I'm saying is that, like, your starting rotation is worse than your bullpen.
It's the bloatation.
But I'm telling you is that you're pretty much SOL for the rest of the year. You're stuck.
Well, you need your starting rotation. That's the key.
Yeah, so Porcello's at, you know, what happened in London, and it's at a
Sale's your best, I mean, not Sale, Price is your best pitcher.
He has been. Right. But what I'm telling
stay
you,
off Twitter
it,
and out
if
of
Sale
fights.
Gets shelled again today, you got to really think about selling when that deadline comes around in 2 weeks.
And the good news is for him, if he gets shelled again and you're going down this seller road that it looks like, even Pete Abraham is calling for this team to be blown up.
Pete Abes!
That says something.
Right.
Then you at least turn the page to getting Chris Sale right for next year. It's not even anymore about getting him right for this year, whether it's physical, mental, confidence. You got to get Chris Sale right because you're on the hook.
Right.
For the next 5 years at $145
million. Next year, Andy.
Find out
starting
what he is.
Starting next year.
Right.
That doesn't kick in until 2020.
But more importantly, starts at 1 o'clock this station. The future of the Red Sox hinges on Chris Sale against the Blue Jays.
All what right, guys, it was fun. Wiggy, you and I back tomorrow?
I guess. I mean, if that's what you're telling me.
All right, that's what I hear. Ken Laird, do we have anybody else?
You guys are back. We're kicking Hart out in favor of Fitzy tomorrow.
Fitzy's
doing it, you guys.
Is he drinking?
He wants to be known. He said he wants to be known as Schlitzy.
Schlitzy. Call me Schlitzy.
I'll see you Saturday, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m.
Chris Sale pitch last night.
Thanks to Kenny Laird, John Anderson.
I was looking at the TV. I've been looking at the one in the middle because I saw three Chris Sales there.
Dale and Keith coming up live from Fenway Park, and Lou Marlone will also join them out there. And Dale and Lou will be on the call with Joe Castig. Red Sox game starts finale against the Blue Jays at 1 o'clock right here on WEEI. Have a tremendous Thursday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.